Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be continuing our little mini-series dealing with this, I don't know if it's a super hot topic, but I think it's a very applicable topic. What's the definition of an excellent minister? Some people say an excellent minister is somebody who can fill a building. An excellent minister, some people say, is a guy who's funny, intriguing, can keep people's interest. Some people say an excellent minister is a guy who can manage large budgets and build all kinds of buildings. Some people say an excellent minister is a guy who is on TV all the time, on radio all the time. Again, people have all kinds of standards by which they measure an excellent minister. But it's interesting, as we saw on our last show, which was the first of, I'm not sure how many parts we'll do in this series, but we saw in the last show, and we're going to see again today, that none of those qualities that I just listed, that a lot of people say an excellent minister is, none of those qualities are listed in the Bible by God. Again, the text we're looking at, as we did last week, we're going to continue this week, is it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. And it's here in verse 6, part B, where the Apostle Paul is telling a young pastor by the name of Timothy that if he meets these certain qualities given by God, Paul told Timothy, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Now, again, as we learned last week, the word good in Greek is kalos, which literally means excellent or praiseworthy. The word minister in the Greek, the word is diakonos. So that word really means just servant in general. So he's not necessarily saying, okay, minister in the way we would understand the term, like an ordained, like me, I'm an ordained pastor, an ordained minister. He's really saying these are the qualities here in verses 6 through 16 of what an excellent kalos, servant, diakonos is. So in the media context, I still think it's fair to say that Paul is giving the qualities, by the way, there are 11 qualities of an excellent minister, i.e. pastor, because he's writing to a young pastor. But it's not limited to only ordained pastors here. I think those qualities also apply to all Christians, because again, all Christians are servants, diakonos, in a general way, of Christ Jesus, right? So here's Paul writing to Timothy. And why? Well, Timothy was having a tough go of it as he was pastoring this church or churches in Ephesus. Again, just for a quick background, the Apostle Paul earlier, 8 years earlier, had served and ministered for 3 years in this church in Ephesus. It was a glorious church. I mean, of course, the Apostle Paul ministered there. Well, he left. He warned the elders that they need to be excellent ministers and to protect the flock of God from false teachers and false teaching. Well, fast forward 8 years later, Paul shows up to that church with Timothy, and guess what? The elders, they weren't being excellent ministers. In fact, they were being false teachers. They were the wolves who were devouring God's flock. Well, Paul had to blow up the elder board. He excommunicated at least two of the men there. Their names were Hymenaeus and Alexander. And then Paul said, okay, Timothy, you're going to stay here and you're going to continue to clean up this mess. I'm leaving, Timothy. I'm going to Macedonia. I'm going to check out the other churches that I ministered in before. And Timothy, you need to stay here and take care of business here. Well, Timothy by nature was rather timid. Timothy by nature, as I said, was rather young for a pastor in his mid-30s. I mean, that was considered young back then to be a pastor. Timothy was prone to stomach ailments, and Timothy was dealing with a very hostile congregation. They were not happy that Paul blew up the elder board. They were not happy that young Timothy now was their new pastor, and he was given the task of continuing to clean up the mess. Well, when Paul arrived in Macedonia, he quickly wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy to encourage him and to keep him on task of getting the job done, of getting rid of the false teachers, of cleaning up the corrupt worship services, of raising up godly elders and deacons. And it's here in chapter 4 that Paul says to Timothy, look, Timothy, I know that the congregation and the elders who are still there are giving you a tough time. And again, I'm sure there are a lot of people trying to tell Timothy what they felt an excellent minister was. And that's why Paul takes this section here, verses in chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. It says, Timothy, let me tell you what God says an excellent minister is. And if you were with us last week, the first three qualities of an excellent minister per God's standards are found in verse 6, where Paul said that an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd who continually warns the people of the dangers of this evil world system, of the dangers of Satan, and of the dangers of our sin nature. An excellent minister, according to God, is a protecting shepherd. He protects the flock. An excellent minister also, in verse 6, part B, is a humble servant. Again, he uses an illustration in 1 Corinthians of that of a third-level galley slave. A person, if you ever saw, you know, the ancient ships, probably in the movies or whatever, they were called triremes. They were three-leveled large ships. Well, the very bottom levels where you had the galley slaves. They're the ones, if you recall, in those big ships, you could see the oars jutting out the bottom of those ships. Well, those galley slaves were rowing. They were chained to the seat down there, and they were chained to those oars. Well, Paul said that's really what an excellent minister is. In fact, Paul referred to himself as that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. An excellent minister is not only a protecting shepherd, an excellent minister is a humble servant, meaning that Jesus Christ is the captain, not the pastor, the captain of the church. And that's where, again, this idea of mega pastor, you know, who's a mega star, you know, leading mega churches, I tell you, that's dangerous to refer to a man like that, because the only megas in the church is Jesus Christ, because megas literally means great exalted one. Well, Jesus Christ is the megas of his church, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of his church. Jesus Christ shed his royal blood for his church. No human should ever be referred to as megas. God says an excellent minister is a humble servant. He should be viewed as a third level galley slave who just keeps rowing and rowing, giving God's people God's holy word. And again, never say that you're going to so-and-so's church. So-and-so, i.e. the pastor, it's not his church. Okay? The people I have the privilege of shepherding, they are not my people. And I never refer to them as my people. They are the Lord's people, okay? They are the flock of God purchased by the precious blood of the Son, of which I've been appointed to be an overseer, an elder by God the Holy Spirit. I am a servant of the flock. I'm not the star. I'm not their boss. I'm not their Lord. I serve them God's word. I protect them as a protecting shepherd with God's word. They are not my people, okay? It is not my church. I am a servant here, okay? I have no authority, okay, based upon my position as a pastor. I have no authority based on the fact that I'm ordained. I have no authority because I'm the guy who does the primary preaching from the pulpit. No, the only authority I have, it's not based upon my position. It's not based upon what I do here. The authority I have is delegated authority as I faithfully preach the authoritative word of God. And when I am speaking the words of God based on what he has graciously given us, the authority comes from that. as I speak God's word. The Spirit of God takes the word of God and applies it to the people of God. And he does it with authority, right? So as long as I'm staying within the bounds of Scripture, there is authority. I have an authority when I speak. Again, listen very carefully. I am not the authority. It is God's word. And I use this illustration all the time. You think the devil is going to release people from his clutches based upon my words? What's the answer? No. Why? Because I have no authority. But will the devil release people from his clutches based on God's words? Absolutely. Because God's words are authoritative. Because God is the full and final authority. So again, what Paul was telling Timothy here, he says, look, I know people are trying to tell you what an excellent minister is, but let me tell you what God has to say. Number one, an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. Number two, an excellent minister is a humble servant. There's no megas in there. And number three, an excellent minister is a serious student. He studies. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he is diligent to present himself to God as a workman approved who correctly, accurately, precisely handles the word of God. It takes time. Listen, I preach four different messages a week, okay? I spend anywhere from 7 to 9 hours studying for each message. You can do the math. I study anywhere from 30 at times to 40 hours a week studying God's word, looking at the original languages, studying all kinds of commentators. I go verse by verse, word by word. I need to own the text so that I'm able to properly, under the power of the Holy Spirit, explain the text to the people. Listen, you know, a minister on a pulpit, okay, it's not a comedy show. It's not entertainment. It's not therapy. It's deep theology. It's not putting on a show. It's being a servant and letting God's word lead the message. And again, according to God, an excellent minister is a serious student who nourishes himself constantly on the words of faith, on the sound doctrine that is found in Scripture. You can't just say, I mean, I've heard guys say time and time, I don't really study. I just let the Holy Spirit lead me as I get up there. Listen, you want to leave room for the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But you have to be a serious student. And again, if you're sitting under teaching where you see the guy is just up there like using illustrations from the internet and just telling funny stories and you barely get anything from the word of God, that tells you two things. Number one, he's not studying the word of God. And number two, when he's up there, he doesn't know the word of God. What are you going to church for then? To be entertained? Go to the movies. You go to church to learn the word of God so you know how to properly worship God. It's not a comedy show up there. Back after the break, and we'll talk more about this.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where we are continuing to discuss this idea of what exactly is an excellent minister. Again, if you've been with us, we are taking a look at 1 Timothy verses 6 through 16, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives 11 qualities of what an excellent minister is. And so far, we've taken a look at three of those 11 qualities. We saw in verse 6 that an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. We also saw in verse 6 that an excellent minister is a humble servant. We also saw in verse 6 that an excellent minister is a serious student who constantly and consistently nourishes himself on the Word of God so that he then is able to faithfully preach the Word of God. Well, the Apostle Paul had some more qualities to give to young Timothy when it came to an excellent minister. In verse 7, part A, Paul says to Timothy that an excellent minister avoids ungodly influences, such as godless myths. Godless, the Greek word is bebelos. It literally means profane, unholy, ungodly. Myths, muthos, fiction, fables, stories. He says, Paul was saying to Timothy, you've got to avoid, meaning it is a proactive, constant, diligent effort to avoid at all cost, bebelos, ungodly myths and old wives' tales. In the Greek, it literally means old womenish talk. Back then in the Greek culture, as you know, a lot of women were uneducated. They didn't have an opportunity for education. Thus, as they grew older, because they were uneducated, they were a bit unsophisticated. And the older they got, sometimes their minds didn't work so well, and they even started to go a little senile. And the picture is of an old woman, an old senile woman, sitting there with a bunch of young kids and just telling a story. And you could see the kids just rolling their eyes and going, I don't have a clue what this lady's talking about. The poor lady, she's older, she's a bit senile, she's uneducated, she's unsophisticated. And what she is saying makes no sense. It has no edifying value. Well, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. An excellent minister not only is a serious student, which is quality number three, an excellent minister, quality number four, avoids ungodly influences. He protects his mind. As John MacArthur said, the mind is a precious thing. For God expects those in leadership to have a pure mind, one saturated with his word. There is no place for foolish, silly myths that are in reality doctrine of demons. Didn't the Holy Spirit say? And again, chapter 4, verse 1, that in the later days, which by the way we're in, people are going to commit apostasy. They're going to abandon the faith, openly reject the faith they once professed. And instead of following Christ, they're going to cling to and follow deceiving spirits. And they're going to expose themselves to doctrine of demons. An excellent minister avoids all ungodly influences. And I say this all the time, and you need to listen, Christian. You've got to be real careful on social media. It is so easy to allow your mind to be immersed in all kinds of, the free-for-all that is social media, where people have no restraints, where they can post anything they want, anything they think, anything they believe, including a bunch of lies and ungodly things. You don't want to expose your mind to that. Think about it. Garbage in, garbage out. You expose yourself to that, after a while, you're really exposing yourself to the doctrine of demons. Because even stuff that's posted on social media that may look like it is something of God, a lot of times it's not. And I know this. I'm never on social media. One of the reasons, I'm just simply technologically inept. But my wife, Danielle, for the ministry, she has Facebook. The ministry actually does, and she helps post things. And so she'll see other posts, and there'll be times when she'll just say to me, hey, Andrew, I want you to see this. And I'll look at it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, somebody posting something in the name of God or supposedly something from the Bible, which either is taken completely out of context or is so, so inaccurately interpreted that, I mean, it's doctrine of demons. And so you've got to be careful. I mean, A pastor has to be careful. He has to nourish himself on God's word, be a serious student, but he has to make sure that he avoids ungodly influences. And this is the problem I have with a lot of pastors, especially younger guys. They don't want to take the time to study God's word. So instead, because they're so technologically strong and everything, they're just surfing the internet constantly. And they're looking for illustrations here. They're looking for, you know, certain comments or even all kinds of stuff. And look, I understand that technology makes things, you know, much quicker, supposedly more efficient. But there's also a danger, because what these guys are doing is they're exposing themselves to ungodly influences. They're not taking the time to write. You know, a lot of these guys don't even know how to write. they know how to just be on the computer. Well, there's goodness in writing, because it takes time to do so. I literally, when I'm studying, will write out the verse, and I'll write out the different versions of that verse. I'll write it out in the Greek or in the Old Testament if it's, you know, in the Hebrew. And in writing this, and then writing commentaries and things I'm learning, as I'm writing, it takes longer. And by taking longer in my writing, it allows me time to think about what I'm writing. You see? My mind starts meditating on that which I'm learning. See, if you just go to the internet and you just cut and paste here or there on the other thing, you're not giving your mind any time to think. So guys are getting up on the pulpit and they're just really just uttering things they just cut and paste, trying to jam in an illustration and hope it fits into the scripture, and in many cases, even using themselves in that illustration, even though it's not really an illustration about them. Guys, you have to protect your mind from bebelos, ungodly influences. Quality number 5 of an excellent minister, Paul says, he trains himself to be godly, verse 7, part B. And he goes on to say, physical training is of some value, verse 8, but godliness, the Greek word is eusebia. It literally means reverence, piety, spiritual virtue. Paul says, physical training is of some value, but godliness, eusebia, holds value for all things, not just this present life, but also the life to come. Again, physical training is great. Problem is, it's limited. It's limited because it's just your body, and it's limited because it's just for this life. Because, Christian, you're not going to be able to take this body with you when you go. You're going to get a new glorified body one day, right? So physical training is okay. It has some value, but godliness, eusebia, true spiritual virtue has value for all things, for this life. And there's not limited, because it's not only beneficial to your mind, it's not only beneficial to your soul, it's also beneficial to your body. But not just in this present life, but also the life to come. An excellent minister trains. The Greek word is where we get our word gymnasium, right? The Greek word is gymnasium. And again, in that Greek culture back then, every city had a gymnasium. You know, the Greeks, they were big when it came to the Olympic Games and so forth. So physical training, they understood that. And Paul was saying to Timothy, listen, physical training's okay. You can do that. In fact, I think he was taking a shot at some of the pre-Gnostic ascetics who were, you know, trying to tell people they weren't allowed to marry and eat certain foods and so forth. Paul says, no, the body's good. You should train it. But you need to train yourself for godliness. Paul said, this is verse 9, a trustworthy saying. And this is something that, again, is something that deserves full acceptance. That an excellent minister trains at the spiritual gym every day for godliness. He's a protecting shepherd. He's a humble servant. He's a serious student. He avoids ungodly influences, and he trains for godliness. And again, as the late pastor, Dr. John Stott said, he said that godly people are God-fearing people. Nothing evokes the worship of God like the Word of God. That's how you train. You know, you think of physical training. You eat healthy foods. you're able then to exercise with more energy. It's the same thing spiritually. If you eat healthy spiritual food, i.e. God's sound doctrine, you're going to be able to train more effectively, exercise more effectively for godliness. But if you're taking in all kinds of ungodly influences, that's spiritual junk food. What kind of spiritual exercise do you think you're going to get out of that? You're not going to have the energy to do it and train yourself to godliness. And do you see? That's what happens with people. And so, isn't it interesting? As we look at these first five qualities, we see that an excellent minister, nowhere do we see that God sets the standards for excellent ministers by saying, well, an excellent minister knows how to fill the building with a large crowd. An excellent minister is intriguing and can hold the interest of people and is funny. An excellent minister can manage a large budget. An excellent minister, you know, can build big buildings or plant tons of churches or send missionaries throughout the... No. God says that when it comes to his standards for excellent ministers, again, in the immediate context, talking about pastors, elders, but again, I think the extended context, talking about all Christians, because all Christians are to be excellent diakonos, servants of Christ. The first five qualities are very clear. And I want you to think of these five qualities as you're sitting under teaching of, you know, who's your pastor. But I also want you to think of these five qualities when it comes to you, Christian. Because again, a lot of times we think that excellence is based on what we think it is or somebody else does. No, you have to follow what God says. God is very clear in his word. The first five of the 11 qualities of an excellent minister are simple. You're a protecting shepherd. You're a humble servant. You're a serious student. You avoid ungodly influences. And you train yourself for godliness. We'll talk more about the other six qualities on our next show. God bless you all.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.